I desire your prayers this morning. This sermon is going to be a little bit tough, but God knows what we need. Amen. Numbers chapter 14, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. Numbers 14. I'm going to read one verse and then we'll get to the message. Just kind of let you know what's going on. The children of Israel have left. They're going through the wilderness and they're getting ready to, they've seen the promised land. They know what's there. But some of them don't have enough faith to take the promised land. Some of them don't have enough faith to do what they need to do. Numbers chapter 14, verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. God, I love you, and I come to you in Jesus' name. And God, I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts today. God, I pray, God, you'd help us right now, God, as we preach this. Lord, you know what we need, God. God, and I ask your hand to be upon everybody under the sound of my voice, God, whether they're in the building, watching on Facebook, YouTube, whatever. Help us, Lord, to take inventory of self today. Lord, I love you. Thank you for what you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning on the danger of murmuring. Amen. Murmuring there, if you look up that word murmur, when I saw this, David, I like to fell out. but the Hebrew word for murmur is loon.
Come on now.
I thought, yep, there it goes. Everybody, you've heard, well, you're a loon. But the Hebrew word murmur is loon, and it's in a bad sense to be obstinate, especially in words. Now, that word obstinate there, it means stubbornly holding to an opinion, purpose, or course in spite of reason, argument, or persuasion.
Amen.
The children of Israel had seen what God had done. In other words, complaining about not getting your way. That's what murmuring is. The children of Israel had seen what God done. They saw God do work all the plagues in Egypt, and they saw God kill all the firstborn in Egypt. They saw God gather up those 2 million people, and they saw God make the Egyptians give them all this gold and silver that they had. They saw God march them out of Egypt. They saw God when they got down to the Red Sea and they couldn't go nowhere. They saw God come down and open up the Red Sea. They saw all these miracles that God had done. They saw God give them a cloud and fire by night, and they saw where God was leading them to the promised land and still complained.
Amen.
Don't that sound like a bunch of Free Will Baptists? Amen. I'm just being honest, you know. I mean, we got it so good and we still complain. And if we're not careful, the problem was not that God had failed them. The problem was they had failed to realize what God is still doing for them. And see, that's our thing. The problem ain't God's failed us. We fail to be thankful for what God's already done. And that's just human nature. And if we ain't careful, that's where we fall in. See, sometimes murmuring makes you forget God's blessings. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them, that when the uttermost parts of the camp, they had food, they had protection, they had guidance, they had the promise of God, they still complained. And the Bible tells us they remembered Egypt but forgot the bondage. Ain't that how we do? The food was good in Egypt, but the food was all right in Egypt, but you worked from daylight to dawn and you were slaves. And that's how we do if we're not careful, you know. And that's how we get complaining. They remembered what they wanted but forgot what God had given. How many, if we ain't careful, things start happening and we forget how good God's been to us?
That's right.
If we ain't careful, you know, we forget where God brought us from. And if we ain't careful, we forget how good God's been to us over the years. I mean, just let a little trouble come our way. I'll be honest with you. If some of us were like Brother Melvin that fell off the house with a rod in our leg and had to come in, we wouldn't even be here. You know what the problem was with the children of Israel, Skip? They got out there. They wasn't getting what they wanted. It's all about me. Ain't that how it is with most of us? If I don't get my way, I'm just telling you, I'm going to gripe and complain and have a fit. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And if that preacher don't do it the way I want it, I'll just find me another church. If them deacons don't do it the way I want it done, I'll just find me another church. That's what they were basically, you got to understand, you know, when you start murmuring, you better start remembering where God brought you from. You better start remembering all the prayers that God has answered for you over the years, all the times that God opened doors when nobody could open doors, and all the times that God made a way when nobody could make a way. That's what we ought to do when we start murmuring. And let me just go ahead and tell you something. Everybody does it.
Amen.
I'm guilty. Man, it wouldn't do. Y'all to be at my house sometimes on a Monday morning. I'm tell you right now, boy. I preach my guts out and they just sit there and look at me like that. Murmuring. I do it. So I know we're all guilty in some way, shape, or form. But we need to remember where God's brought us from, how good God's been to us. Murmuring, now listen, murmuring spreads to other people. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, listen to this, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? It starts with one. Misery loves company, amen? You ever notice when you don't get your way, you go complaining about something? You go to talking, let me see now. Skip didn't speak to me Sunday morning. And I noticed that he walked right by Tony, so I'm going to go talk to Tony. And then me and Tony get together and realize that David's a little bit upset because Skip didn't shake his hand, so now we're going to go talk to David. That's what murmuring does. And that's how it starts. It starts at one, and then it moves on. The mixed multitude started lusting. And that kind of attitude affects your family. That kind of attitude. Those children are sitting around the kitchen table listening to everything you and I say. And the thing about it is, hey, it affects your church family. There's other church members sitting around listening. They're hearing what I'm saying about Skip. They're hearing what I'm saying to Tony about Skip. And if you ain't careful, they start chiming in on it too. That's what murmuring does. Let me ask you a question. What kind of spirit are you spreading in the church? Think about that. When we talk, That's why, I'm telling you, most of the time, I try to keep my mouth shut. It don't work all the time. I'm just being honest. I try to keep my mouth shut, especially when somebody comes to me complaining about something. I try to just tell them what the Bible says. Most of the time, if you'll do that, everything else will work out fine. Because I'm going to be honest with you, folks, we don't all get our way. Over the 26 years I've been here, there have been a lot of times that I didn't get my way. But God still worked it out. God still worked it out. Murmuring makes God's provisions look like the problem. Listen to what I just said. Murmuring will make God's provisions look like the problems. Numbers chapter 11, verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before I... God had poured it out. God had poured it out on manna from heaven. I mean, God was feeding. They didn't have to work for it. All they had to do was go out and pick it up, and God was feeding it to them, and they got to complaining about it.
Amen.
When was the last time you complained about God's blessings? Most of us have multiple cars, but if one of them ain't working, well, we'll fuss about it. Wow. Hello. Amen. Got great jobs, but let them call you in early one day. See what I'm talking about? We ain't complaining. If we're not careful, we get complaining about the blessings. I mean, the thing about it is, what once made them happy, Tony, now ain't making them happy. You know why? Because you got used to the blessings. We got used to the miracles. What once used to excite us in church, Kevin, now don't excite us no more. Well, we've seen God heal. We know God heals of cancer. And now somebody comes in, talks about how God's healed of cancer. We're used to excited. I mean, we come to a church where people use our altars and that, you know, that would excite us at one time, but now we're used to that. We come to a church where people get saved, and what used to excite us don't excite us no more. And we start to murmur. We start to thinking it's better on the other side. Let me tell you, that's how marriages fail, because you're looking at what God, you forget what God's blessed you with, and now you're looking at something else over yonder, and something else over yonder ain't nowhere near as good as what you got at home. That's how come we change jobs so much, because you know I think I can get 50 cents on a dollar more on hour at the other job. And this job's provided for you, and this job's been good for you, and these people's been good to you the whole time. Wow. If we ain't careful, we get used to the blessings of God, and we start murmuring. I don't want to be that way. I don't want it to be that way, Ronnie, when yesterday's miracles start to look ordinary to me. Wow. Amen. I still believe if somebody comes down to an altar, amen, and gets saved, the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven. Praise God, we ought to rejoice too. I still believe when God answers a prayer and somebody shows up in a wheelchair like Melvin, my God, we ought to shout it out and we ought to praise God and thank God for what God's still doing and God's still answering prayers. I still believe when somebody comes to God's house and says, God's healed me of cancer, like Sister Helen, we ought to shout it out. We ought to praise God. But no, if we ain't careful, we got used to that. Well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. All the miracles they saw, all the things that they saw God do. And now you're out here complaining about the same God that did that. It's amazing to me how we can get accustomed to the work of God and it become ordinary to us. See, murmuring makes you look backwards. Murmuring will make you look backwards. Notice what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 through 4. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. They were ready to go back and be slaves rather than free out there where God was blessing them. How many times have you looked back in difficult times and said, I wonder if I was better off? I'm going to be honest with you. I might not be doing as good as I want to do, but glory to God, I'm still on my way to heaven. Amen. I'm just going to be on. I might not have all the riches that I want, but glory, I'm not going to burn in hell. Amen. Hey, that's the reason to shout right there. I might not have the job I want, but hey, praise the Lord, I'm not in the hell holes of this world. I'm not waking up on Saturday morning not remembering where I was. Amen. I can shout it out because I know that I am on my way. I don't ever want to look back and think that was better than what I'm going through now. A bad day with Jesus is a whole lot better than any good day with the devil, amen? Murmuring makes you look back. And see, that's the thing. When times get tough, Satan's going to make it look better. Oh, he's going to make it look better. That's how come we destroy. I believe I said it Wednesday night or last Sunday. Don't build a permanent home in a temporary wilderness. Listen to what I said. Don't build a permanent home in a temporary wilderness. What you're going through right now ain't your end. What you're going through right now ain't the, hey, heaven's our home, amen. We've got a residence already set up. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am there ye may be also. Understand something? You've got a place already set up, and where you're at right now is not where you're going to be. They were in the wilderness. They had already sent out the spies, Brother Tony. They had already saw the land. They already knew what was there. They had already seen the land. And understand this. What you gotta see. They saw it, but 10 come back with an evil report. It was there, Robert. It was there. Taylor, it was there. I mean, it was there for the taking. I preached this a few Wednesday night. It might have been last Wednesday night, and David brought this up again this morning in Sunday school about how the children of Israel, God promised them a land of over 30,000 square miles, and they only took about 30 of it. 10% of what God had in store for them, they got, but it was there. And you know why they didn't get it? Unbelief. Unbelief. Caleb and Joshua, the ten come back and they said, hey, we're like grasshoppers. See, this is what faith does. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. Caleb and Joshua said, we can't lose because God's on our side. Amen. Which way are you looking at it? And see, that's what happens. We start murmuring, we start complaining, we start griping, and our faith starts to dwindle. And our faith is not where it needs to be. Folks, I'm just telling you, if we ain't careful, now listen, I'm going to pick on this young couple. How long y'all been married now? Almost 3 years. Don't raise your hand. How many think they've already had some fusses and fighting in 3 years? Wonder if there's been any murmuring in 3 years. And I'm just gonna tell you how most of us think, you know, go back to my mom and daddy. Don't laugh. Don't laugh, because you've been there. I'll just go back to my mom and daddy. And then somebody else said, I wish you'd go back to her mom and daddy. But you know what? On a Sunday morning, almost 3 years into it, they're sitting in church. And don't you quit. And don't you give up. Because the promised land's in sight. Amen. Let me tell you something. Everything you thought, I've thought. Every problem you faced, I've faced. And praise God, I'm in it 41 years now. We got some in here that's been in it a lot longer now. Why? Because they didn't quit when the promised land was right there. They didn't murmur and they didn't complain. The thing about it is, yeah, she might have thought, well, I'll just go back to my mom and daddy, but she didn't. And she didn't call somebody on the phone and say, let me tell you what he did. I'm preaching good now. That's what murmuring does. Murmuring destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys churches. It destroys relationships. But if we do it the right way, God can bless. The two that didn't murmur, the two that said, God said, all right, if this is the way you want to be, I'm going to destroy a whole generation. God wiped out every one of them but two, Caleb and Joshua. I want to be like Caleb and Joshua. Amen. My God can. I don't care what the devil says. My God will. I don't care what the devil says. My God's still in control. I don't care what the devil says. Let me ask you a question. How many of us this morning, if we ain't careful, we get our eyes off where we need to be? And just like the children of Israel, God pouring down blessings, we get our eyes on things we ain't got no business looking at. And we start complaining and we start murmuring, we start just jabbing a little bit. And y'all husbands and wives know what I'm talking about. The thing about it is we don't want to do it with husbands. Why? We do it with church members. If we ain't careful, we'll do it with people on our job. You know, I don't get my way. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord happy with that? No. I know he ain't happy with me. No. I'm just going to be honest with you. I thought about it as they were teaching Sunday school this morning, talking about the potter and the wheel. And I've seen people on TV using that potter and that wheel, and they molding that clay, and it's almost like the potter, Kevin, just got mad. Yeah. That thing wasn't doing right, and he just went, mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like that's what God wants to do with me. But even when they do that, David, I thought about this, and I told Mike this morning after Sunday school, even when they do that, Tony, they slap that clay down, you know what they do? They start molding it again. At no point, listen, at no point was the clay ever out of the potter's hand. Even when we disappoint him, even when we don't, even when we murmur, he still wants us. I want you to bow your heads as they come get us a song this morning.